I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. If you look at a map of North America up in the Arctic region, you'll see the coast of Alaska on the left and Greenland on the far right. In between, there are thousands of islands that belong to Canada. And meandering through those islands is the Northwest Passage. It's a roughly 900-mile sea route that connects the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. It used to be choked by ice year-round, but now, because of climate change and melting ice, more and more ships are passing through. And that's highlighting the fact that the Northwest Passage has been in a sort of legal limbo for decades. The World's Carolyn Beeler explains.
You can trace the strange legal situation that governs the Northwest Passage back to the summer of 1985.
The Polar Sea, a ship from the U.S. Coast Guard, will start winding its way through the Northwest Passage on Thursday.
That lumbering icebreaker on a resupply mission was seen as a threat to Canadian sovereignty.
The trouble is, the Americans haven't asked for our permission, and they say they don't have to because the passage is an international waterway. But Canada disagrees.
As the CBC reported, Canada saw the sea route from Alaska to Greenland as internal waters. And the U.S. voyage through those waters left Canadians indignant and wanting action.
If we believe that we are really an independent country, and we do have complete sovereignty over those waters, well, then I think we should exercise whatever control is necessary.
Historically, Canadians are hyper-allergic to living alongside the United States, a country 10 times our size.
This is Derek Burney. He's a longtime Canadian diplomat and government official.
So you have to understand that there's always been a lot of tension about the borders up into the Arctic. So we even had planes flying over it, dropping Canadian flags on it just to make a statement.
This internal versus international waters dispute was such a big deal that more than a year later, in 1987, it was on the agenda when President Ronald Reagan and Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney met in Ottawa. Burney was Mulroney's chief of staff at the time, and he says the two world leaders were pretty good friends.
Did I mention that they were both Irish? They love to exchange Irish jokes at the beginning of every meeting.
Burney says that personal connection was key to solving the territorial dispute.
In any event, in the prime minister's office, very intimate, couple of sofas, couple of easy chairs, the prime minister did have an ancient globe. On that globe, the Northwest Passage looked more like the St. Lawrence River.
In other words, a lot smaller than in real life.
And so the prime minister was pointing to it, to the president, and said, now look, Ron, this goes right through the heart of Canada. It's frozen 90% of the year. So how on earth can your Navy call this high seas? And the president looked at the globe, and I can still see the quizzical look on his face. And he said, well, Brian, it's not like the map they showed me on Air Force One.
But Mulroney was a friend, and later that day, Reagan told him he wanted to fix the Northwest Passage problem. Derek Burney was assigned to negotiate for the Canadians. After months of meetings, he and his American counterpart had a breakthrough.
If we were living side by side as neighbors, if I wanted to cut across your lawn, you wouldn't mind letting me do that, provided I asked you up front, right? And we both agreed that that was the kernel of a solution.
Neither side changed their legal position. But the two countries agreed that the U.S. would always ask permission before sending icebreakers through the Northwest Passage. And the Canadians, they would always give it. It might be the most Canadian agreement ever.
Well, when you're dealing with somebody 10 times your size, you've got to be a bit nimble, eh?
The 1988 Arctic Cooperation Agreement was a stroke of diplomatic genius in that that agreement essentially enabled the two countries to agree to disagree.
This is Arctic law expert Michael Byers.
The issue today, however, is that in 1988, no one had any idea as to the future impact of climate change on the Arctic sea ice.
Ice melt means that now the Northwest Passage can be navigated not just by icebreakers, but by cruise ships, cargo ships, and adventure travelers. In 1988, 11 ships traveled in the passage. Last year, 47 did. And that increased traffic means increased risk of a collision or an oil spill in one of the hardest places in the world to stage a rescue or a cleanup. Scott Heiliman is an Arctic expert with the Ocean Conservancy who says the U.S. and Canada aren't prepared for this influx.
They don't have enough ice-breaking capacity. They don't have enough emergency responders. They haven't set out safe shipping corridors and kind of mapped those out.
The two countries are working together on some of those issues. The U.S. even advises its ships to follow Canada's strict environmental rules in the passage. But Michael Byers argues neighborly goodwill won't be enough forever.
U.S. vessels are not the problem. The problem is a foreign vessel could say that we take the view that the Northwest Passage is an international strait consistent with the U.S. government view, and therefore we don't need to comply with Canada's strict standards on ship safety, on the kind of ice strengthening that might be required for a vessel.
Rogue, unprepared ships aren't attempting the Northwest Passage just yet. It's still too dangerous. But Byers argues it's essential for the law to keep up with climate change, so melting ice doesn't bring other problems, like oil tankers that can't survive a crash with an iceberg. For The World, I'm Carolyn Beeler.